And we welcome you back to MetLife Stadium and welcome to another edition of Giants Post Game Live presented by Mercedes-Benz, the official luxury vehicle of the New York Giants. I'm Bob Papa. I am joined by two-time Super Bowl champion David Deal and Super Bowl champion Imani Toomer. I beat Sean O'Hara down from the radio booth, so Sean will be here quickly. I just have a quicker elevator. Unfortunately for the Giants, they weren't quick enough as they lose to the Chargers. The final score 27-22 in a game that, let's face it, the Giants are going to look back and just kick themselves. Obviously, late in the ball game, no Odell Beckham Jr., no Brandon Marshall, no Sterling Shepard, no Dwayne Harris, and Eli Manning with a fumble late. But, David, it gets back to the same thing. The Giants cannot handle this twist up front, and when the Chargers needed to, they ran twists up front, which led to the sack and the forced fumble that eventually won this game for the Chargers.
And when you look at it across the board, I mean, just look at the mistakes the Giants made themselves that they did not capitalize on. When you turn over the football, when you have penalties like they had in crucial situations, and when you have breakdowns in protection and in coverage like this team had offensively and defensively, that's where you find yourself in these close games on the other side of the column, on the losing column. So for this football team, with all the positive things that they had, the way that Gallman played in this football game, the way that players stepped up, you still look at those missed opportunities that they had that they should have capitalized on.
Yeah, and Imani, I mean, this team can't get off the field on third downs. You look at that one drive when the Giants could have won the field position battle. They had the Chargers on a third and nine from their own nine. They convert. Then the Chargers had a third and 15 from their own 21. They convert. They wound up going downfield scoring. Now, the Giants answered, but even on the go-ahead touchdown at the end, it was third and nine from the 10, and for the second time in the game, yep, they ran the running back at Keenan Robinson, and he couldn't cover him.
Yeah, the third down has definitely been a problem for them, and they usually go after Eli Apple. I don't know what it is about him, but other teams are now starting to realize that that is a weakness on their defense. Third and nine, you find out where that Eli Apple matchup is, you go after it, and you convert. It just seems like they're doing almost everything that they need to do, getting these third and long situations on defense, but not able to close the door. And that's not only is it demoralizing for the defense, it's demoralizing for the whole team. And in a game like this, where both offenses, let's be frank, weren't really moving the ball that well, if you play the field position battle,
yep,
sometimes you can pull a game like this out. And if you're trying to play that field position battle and you're giving up third and longs, that changes not only the momentum, but it starts to get a struggling offense,
yep,
going again. And that's what happened today with the Chargers. They were struggling.
And on those third downs that you were talking about in that drive, Steve Spagnuolo dials up pressure, which you knew that they were going to have to somehow with OV not being in this game. It was the right pressure. They didn't get home. Chargers capitalized,
yes,
on it. And that was the whole beat of the day. You get your opportunity, you don't capitalize it.
Yeah.
They were able to capitalize on him.
Yeah, and Eli Apple, I mean, he's got to know that they're coming at him. They're not going to Jackrabbit. After the game, Eli Apple spoke with Paul Dottino.
Eli, another dramatic fourth quarter comeback by the opposing team. This is kind of getting kind of old for you guys in your locker room, I would think.
Yeah, once again, it's the same thing. Like you said, we can't finish games, and that's on us. We can't point any fingers besides just point the ones at us, and we got to make a change somewhere and just work harder.
I know the loss of the receivers is on offense, but to have four of your guys go down and have to get taken out of the game has to be incredibly emotionally crushing for you.
Yeah, I've never seen that before. That was really crazy, and I'm have all of them my prayers, especially Odell. Hopefully he gets back healthy, and this is crazy. We just got to regroup and come back and play harder.
And then finally, a number of times you guys got pressure on Rivers, but he was able to make a lot of third down conversions, especially in the second half. What was going on there?
They were able to pick up some of our blitzes. We got to disguise better, and we got to get off the field on third down. There's nothing to it besides just executing.
Eli Apple, thanks for your time.
Yes, sir.
All right, Eli Apple talking about the Giants and their defense for the third week in a row, not able to hold the fourth quarter lead or hold the Chargers to a field goal. And we talked about the receivers being injured. It started with Sterling Shepard with an ankle injury. Then it went to Brandon Marshall with an ankle injury. Then Dwayne Harris fractures his foot on the opening kickoff of the third quarter. And then on a high throw, Odell lands awkwardly, rolls his ankle, and he looked like he was in a lot of pain. In fact, they had to bring the cart out for two of these guys. And Imani, I mean, you were down to Roger Lewis and Evan Ingram. I mean, what does this do to the psyche of the team when your playmakers, especially Odell Beckham Jr., is out of this game, and who knows when he's coming back.
Well, Odell Beckham was the guy who really kept this thing together. The big plays that he made, you know, in Philadelphia, the big plays he made this week, to the big 40-plus yard touchdown. When you don't have those guys, you look at the faces, the expressions of everybody on the sideline. They look defeated. And Odell, if he's not able to play next week, if they're looking for receivers, I really am nervous about what's going to happen in terms of who they're going to bring in, and if they bring somebody in, are they going to get up to speed, and are they going to be able to, you know, are they going to mesh well with Eli? Are they going to mesh well with this offense? There's so much that they've lost in today's game. I've never seen four receivers go down. Usually, you only dress four receivers for a game, and to have them all go out. I mean, I don't know what's going on.
And to go along with that, you think about this offense and what they were going to try to incorporate to stretch the field. Evan Ingram only had four targets in the entire football game. So when you have injuries, which we knew that they had in the first half, get your tight end involved.
They came
help
late
out.
Too, dude.
I know. And help your tight end. Get your tight end involved and get him more targets so that you can open up more things.
I have a solution, though, if these guys are out. Just get Amani back. He's a Giants all-time leading receiver.
You don't want me back there. I'll maybe give you a play or two, but that'll be about it.
Right now they need just one. We're going to take a timeout. When we come back, we're going to hear from the head coach of the New York Giants, Ben McAdoo, as the Giants suffer a bitter defeat at the hands of the Chargers, 27-22, the final score. Just getting started here on the MSG Networks. Giants postgame live presented by Mercedes-Benz. Giants fans enter a chance to win a Canon EOS 5D Mark IV DSLR camera at adoramas.com/Giants. Adorama, the official retailer of the New York Football Giants. The head coach of the Giants, Ben McAdoo. We'll hear from him next as we continue with Giants Post Game Live. Look at the crowd here at MetLife Central following the Giants' disappointing loss to the Los Angeles Chargers. As we welcome you back to Giants Post Game Live presented by Mercedes-Benz. We are joined now by a fourth member of our group. Sean O'Hara makes it down from the radio booth. And Sean, I want to get your take on another disappointment as the Giants again hand away a fourth quarter lead and not able to protect Eli enough down the stretch. But your overall take of this game and really the biggest thing in your mind as to why the Giants lost today.
It's mind-boggling, really. They keep finding new ways to lose games week in and week out. And I thought the Giants, they got the lead. They're up by 6 points. And the defense, I thought, was going to come out there and basically get a stop.
Yep.
And 2 weeks in a row now, we've seen them give up big plays, give up touchdowns. And I wonder, where is that defense? Where is that defense that came up with the big stops? They didn't go after Eli Apple as much this time as it was Keenan Robinson, who seemed to be lost in coverage. I'm really trying to figure out why the Giants can't close games out. The four-minute offense has been an issue for this team for a couple of years. And even with the lead, they send out Shane Vereen at the end there, and Darko has been playing well all game long. I don't know why Darko wasn't in there.
Well, I think he kept dropping passes, which was a problem.
But they shouldn't be throwing it, is my point.
Let me ask you this, though, because we wondered about this on the radio side. When they came out for their four-minute offense, because remember last week, the Eagles got the ball with 6:44 to go against the Chargers, up by two, and they ran the game out.
Yeah.
They wound up taking a knee. The Chargers never got the ball back. Gallman was so effective. And he was giving, and he took a bad running play, and he made it into a positive. If you're going to run your regular running game, why is he not in there to run your 4 minute offense?
I would settle for Gallman.
Yeah.
But Shane Vereen was in there, and this is not a knock on Shane Vereen, but I'm okay with Darkwood being in there, and here's why: Gallman's still a rookie. I don't want to put a rookie in that position now. That all of a sudden 4 minute offense, everybody's ripping for the football. I don't want to put him in there yet. This is really only his second game with action, so I would still want Darko in there, and I really feel like they threw the ball on the second down, the play that Odell got hurt on. You got no business throwing the ball there. Keep running the football. And then on the third play, obviously, you know, all the energy was gone from the stadium once Odell got hurt, but then the sack that Eli took, look, you don't want to take a sack, but if you do, you've got to secure the football. You can't turn the ball over right there like he did.
Yeah, I mean, a punt has got to be the worst thing in that situation.
Even so, that's not a guarantee, though, Bob.
Although Wing won the field position battle.
He did a great job inside the 20.
Let's get some of the answers to some of the questions that we're talking about right now. Is Giants head coach Ben McAdoo addressing the media following today's loss?
All right, another tough ball game. I thought the guys went out. I thought they played hard. I thought they fought their tails off. Came up just short. Couple mistakes at the end really cost us, and ran out of firepower there at the end. No excuses. Felt we had opportunities to move the ball, put points on the board, and this is where we stand. Yeah, I mean, it significantly altered the game. We had one receiver left at the end of the ball game. You know, the guys fought hard. The tight end stepped up and went out and worked to execute the two-minute offense. They don't get a lot of reps what they were being asked to do, but they went out. They played fast and played hard. I don't know yet. Just got in off the field. I'll have to go take a look and. We'll have to take a look in the morning, probably. Again, I don't know. I don't have an answer to that yet.
I guess the CBS podcast that his finger was really bothering him in the pregame warm-ups. Is that the case? And you didn't have all those receiver injuries. Do you even play without him?
He was medically cleared to play in the game. We had three ankles and a foot. Looks like Dwayne has a broken foot.
How about some of the other guys? I mean, you really in shorthanded
Jonathan C. Yeah, DRC was in and out. He was hobbled a little bit. JC Landon was in and out a little bit. He was hobbled up. Darqua, after the touchdown, pulled up lower body. He didn't get much after that, no.
Sorry, you said lower body, it wasn't his
calf? I believe it was a calf, but I'm not 100% sure.
After the Odell touchdown, you went for the two-point. What was the explanation for the play game?
Well, the clock starts. It's a new rule by the league. They're trying to speed up the games. So the 25-second clock started quickly. And then I tried to run down and call a timeout with 4 seconds left. I could, you know, they didn't pull the trigger on the timeout. They must not have seen me there. But we still felt we had a good call and an opportunity to convert.
0-5.
You just keep working. You look in the mirror. You know, you learn a lot about yourself in times like these. So you got to work for yourself. You got to work for your teammates. We're all pros. This is what we get paid to do. We get paid to win, not just compete. So we got to find a way to win. Yeah, I think that we showed a lot of fight out there again, but this is professional football. We got to go to work and find a way to win.
Why the decision to
DJ
John?
John has been hobbled a little bit. I thought DJ played fairly well last week. I wanted to give him a chance in the run game. You know, we have a lot of guys who were rolling in and out of there, and we want to see guys compete, and we're confident in all of our DBs.
What was your assessment of the run game? Today?
I thought there was some good and some bad, but more good. I thought we took a step in the run game. I thought we played physical. We needed a little bit more later in the game, but I thought our run game took a step forward today.
How much was he like on the bench for attacking? Pretty serious? Was that pre-planned?
Yes. It was pre-planned.
When you use the phrase, you know, you learn a lot about yourself, I'm sure you're saying that in terms of how you judge your players as they deal with this 0-5 start?
Players and coaches, yeah.
I was going to ask you in the sense that the public at large kind of does the same thing with you. Your bosses are doing the same thing with you.
Mm-hmm.
And how do you feel about that? What have you learned about
it? Yeah, listen, I get paid to win, not merely compete. And right now we're 0-5. I'm my biggest critic. I look in the mirror. And I have to do a better job.
Was Eli Manning tested for a concussion at all?
Not that I'm aware of.
One more question. Where do you go from here at this point?
Back to work. Thank you.
So that's Giants head coach Ben McAdoo talking about the frustrations and some of the things that went wrong in this football game for the team. You know, you rush for over 90. You rush for 90 plus yards more than your season average. You run for 152 yards. You win the field position battle. But to me, the Giants didn't put this game away when they could have. They had the ball at their own 45-yard line to start a possession, punt. You start first and 10 after a punt return, after your defense gets a three and out. And you're starting at the plus 39, and you wind up having to punt the ball away. Those are the kind of things that have to be driving you mad. What can they do to get better in these areas?
Well, I think confidence is a big factor in this. And the Giants scored a touchdown in the first quarter, their first touchdown all season long. And then they punt four straight times in the second quarter. And to your point, they just haven't learned how to win, how to capitalize on those situations. When you've got a chance. You've got a team against the ropes. The Chargers, they're starting
they're
field
you.
Position
they're
in the first
They're the mirror
half.
Image of yeah. you.
They were starting at the 13-yard line. I mean, that was their average starting field position in the first half, and yet they couldn't find a way to really seal the deal, go over the top, whatever movie cliche you want to say, sweep a leg, you know, come off the top ropes, do something. That's what you want to see because the Chargers, they did not want to win this game.
No, they didn't.
There were so many opportunities for the Giants to pounce on it.
And you think about the Giants not capitalizing on third down. They were 5 of 15, 33%. And you may say, like in the past, they were 10, 13-plus. If you look at them, 9 of them were within 3 to 7 yards, and they didn't convert them. So when you're not doing that up against this defense and you let Melvin Ingram and Joey Bosa dictate the tempo of the football game outside, that's where you fall into these traps. That's when you start punting the ball, and that's when defenses don't respect your ability to run the football.
Yeah, it really just looks like a team that's wishing and hoping and trying to figure out somebody's make a play, like whimsically. And when they have an opportunity to slam the door, they just don't do it. And it's frustrating to see because you can tell there is talent on this team. You can tell that if they would take advantage and pay attention to the finer things in the games, they would be able to, you know, to win. The turnover battle is something that they lost today, which is a reason why, you know, you look at all the statistics and break it down. The only one that really matters is a turnover battle. And the turnover, when they turned it over in the end, when Eli fumbled, That was a backbreaker. You can't have that happen. And we talked about it earlier. You have to have a, you know, secure that ball. But it's frustrating to watch this team with all the talent, knowing that they won 11 games last year and went to the playoffs, and see them getting off to an 0-5 start. I understand why people are upset.
I think we're initially talking about the offense, Bob, but the defense, you know, they've got to show up. They've got to find a way.
How many missed tackles have you and I sit there
watching? Gordon ran through Landon Collins. They couldn't get a stop, couldn't get off the field. And let's be honest, the Chargers did not run the – I mean, they're not a running football team. They kind of do it just to give Phillip Rivers' arm a break.
Yeah, and then you throw on top of that, I mean, Eli had two opportunities to hit Odell over the top in the first half. He overthrew him both times. You wind up getting no points in those possessions. So all these things kind of add up, and the bottom line is the Giants have fallen to 0-5 as they lose to the Chargers by a score of 27-22. Still to come in the program, we'll hear from the quarterback of the New York Giants, Eli Manning. We'll hear what he has to say following the Giants' loss to the Chargers. Guests of the postgame show receive a gift certificate to Ben & Jack's, located on 5th Avenue and 28th Street, Manhattan, from the celebrated Porterhouse to the finest seafood. Ben & Jack's will surpass your expectations of what a steakhouse should be. We'll hear from Eli Manning as we return to Giants Post Game Live, presented by Mercedes-Benz here on the MSG Networks. Welcome back to MetLife Central. Not a lot of happy Giants fans right now as we welcome you back to Giants Post Game Live, presented by Mercedes-Benz, as the Giants come up short, lose to the Chargers 27-22. The big story here today is the fact that the Giants lost Odell Beckham Jr., Brandon Marshall, Sterling Shepard, and Dwayne Harris, all to foot injuries or ankle injuries, and the Giants have now fallen to 0-5 on the season. Remember, this was an 11-5 team last year. They've hit their loss total for all of last season in the first 5 weeks of the season. Giants did not get any sacks in this ball game. Phillip Rivers identifies when the pressure is coming, but the Giants weren't able to get to him and apply enough pressure in this game. Let's check in the locker room and see what Jason Pierre-Paul had to say.
Tell you the truth, very frustrating. all we can do is go back and look at the film tape, what's going on, you know. I'm pretty sure every guy out there played their heart out, but, you know, it just wasn't enough. You know, it wasn't enough to win this football game, and, you know, all we can do is go back and see what's going on. You know, so that's all we can do.
You ever seen that many wide receivers go down? I mean, you lost four of them in one game.
Hey, man, this is a game of football, man. You know, anything can happen any given moment, right? Anybody can go down. You know, I hope those guys are all right, but, you know, the next man got to step up. That's the game of football, you know. We can't feel sorry for anybody. You know, don't even feel sorry for me if I go down. You know, next man got to step up, and this is what we, you know, live to do. So.
I mean, there was no next man, though.
We got to find a way. You know what I mean? That's offense. You know, I can't really too much worry about that side of the ball. You know, I'm over here scraping the defense. So.
What was the message from that after the game?
Keep our heads up. You know. Yeah. You know, you already know it's gonna be positive. You know. That's what the head coach is going to do. But, you know, at the end of the day, you know, us guys got to look deep in the mirror. And, you know, if you feel like you didn't play your heart out, then, you know, you're only cheating yourself, you know. But, I feel like every guy played their heart out. It just wasn't enough to win. You know, we had the mindset, you know, coming in here and actually winning the game, but that didn't happen. You know, you could see it in everybody's eyes and before the game started. You know, everybody was in, you know, sync as one. But, like I say, we just didn't win the game.
So Jason Breer-Paul talking about, you know, everybody's got to play hard. I think they played hard. I don't think they play smart. I think that's a big problem. And let's talk about this pass rush, because you guys all watch games throughout the course of the weekend. There are injuries all around the National Football League. Okay, Olivier Vernon's not playing. You got to deal with it. Where is this pass rush right now?
Yeah, somebody needs to step up. You mentioned no sacks. How about only four quarterback hits by defensive linemen? Aquara had one. Jay Bromley had two. JPP had one. JPP had a couple of offside penalties too, which is inexcusable. I don't know how you do that. He's sitting there with his left hand down. All you got to do is look down. But they can only manufacture pressure with the blitz. And let's face it, the Chargers' offensive line has struggled to protect Phillip Rivers. And they've got Russell Okung they picked up at free agency. Joe Barksdale, who's kind of been battling a foot injury. So there should have been pressure. They should have been able to get pressure and inside too. I mean, Damon Harrison, I thought, did a pretty good job. He's really not a pass rusher, but this defense, I thought they looked tired. And when you think about it, they really weren't on the field that much compared to previous games.
Yeah.
The Giants had 100 yards rushing in the first half. They shouldn't have been that tired.
And anytime you dial up the blitz, you're rolling the dice. Either you capitalize or they capitalize in it. And today, Phillip Rivers capitalized on all of them, because when Steve Spagnuolo did dial up the right blitz, they weren't getting home. So then what do you have? Keenan Allen versus Keenan Robinson one-on-one. That's a matchup in the Chargers' favor. And you can continue to go on and on anytime that they did that. So as much as you want to say, yeah, they didn't have OV, which obviously would have made a big difference in here, when they did have their opportunities, they didn't capitalize.
Yeah, I just think that this is a game where two teams going in 0-4, and it's almost like who is going to overextend themselves for the counterpunch, because – you really had to wait this game out. Both teams aren't executing well at a high level to be consistent. They have to get advantages from the other team, and that is the blitzes, taking chances like that. You had to just play it safe, play it conservative, make the other team beat you, because both of these teams have not beaten anybody just straight up. They've always lost towards the end. And when you blitz and when you compromise your back end of your defense, especially on these third and longs, you're just, if you have an experienced quarterback like Phillip Rivers, he can understand and dissect that type of thing, and you're really making it easier on him, because you're not making him go through his progressions. He looks where the blitz comes, he goes to where the open hot guy is, and it just makes it a lot easier. And I think that was one of the mistakes that we had, but we need to try and figure out how to get more pressure on. I definitely agree on that.
Coming into the game, these are two of the worst teams at stopping the run and running the ball. Both teams ran the ball effectively, including Wayne Gallman of the Giants. When we come back, we'll hear from the rookie out of Clemson and much more discussion as the Chargers defeat the Giants 27-22 as we continue with Giants postgame live presented by Mercedes-Benz here on the MSG Networks. We welcome you back to Giants Post Game Live, presented by Mercedes-Benz, the official luxury automobile of the Giants here on the MSG Networks. The Chargers come from behind to beat the Giants 27-22. One of the bright spots, the Giants finally got their run game going, rushing for 152 yards as a team. A short time ago, Paul Dottino spoke with rookie running back Wayne Gallman.
Wayne, second week in a row, you get a bunch of playing time, you get a bunch of yards. How much different did this feel than last week when you made your NFL debut?
The big difference was last week, it was my first game, you know, first bit of experience that I was able to get, and I didn't really know what was going to be coming. I mean, mm-hmm. I had all those mental reps, but I didn't really know what was going to be coming. Whereas this week, I really got into studying, you know, the team a little bit more, knowing my assignment. But, you know, the overall outcome, of course, we just want to finish.
So, no question.
You know, it's always that will and want to do more, but, you know, you got to wait on it.
All right, so now two games of NFL action for you. What have you learned about yourself as a running back that you'll be able to apply as you move forward into the season?
That I can help the team, whether it's running or catching the football. And, you know, of course, blocking for Eli. But I just know I can stretch plays, extend plays, and do whatever the offense needs.
What are one or two of the favorite plays that you seem to like? Because it does seem like you accelerate and hit the hole pretty quick, and you have some jukes against that defense too.
It's whatever play they call, man. I'm good. I'm good, man.
And I know last week you told us about pass protection being a necessity. Obviously, today Eli did get sacked a handful of times, but that's something you guys in the backfield need to be aware of.
Right. We always have to be aware of that. And, you know, we just have to go back to practice, refuel, and come back next week better.
Final question. Teams at 0-5, obviously nobody's having fun with that. You come from such a great program at Clemson. I know you're used to a lot of big games and a lot of great times. How difficult is this for you as a young player to go through this in your rookie season compared to what maybe some of the veterans are having to go through with this sour taste in their mouths?
It's a learning experience, and, you know, it's adversity. So, you know, it's good and bad. You know, of course it's bad that we're losing. We want to win, but at the same time, I'm learning. You know, it's all about the details. Mm-hmm. It's all about knowing your assignment and doing your assignment to the best of your ability and just playing 100%. So, you know, I'm learning more and more as this, you know, this year goes on. But, you know, I'll be more ready next game.
We have a lot more to see from Wayne Gallman, folks. Thanks for taking time.
Yeah, no problem.
Okay, back to you.
All right, Paul, thank you very much. Wayne Gallman, 11 carries, 57 yards. He also added 5 catches for 25 yards. And, look, he made some nice moves, Imani, avoided some hits in the backfield. Obviously, there's a lot of positives watching Gallman's game.
There is a lot of positives, but one tip for the young rookie, you don't tell on yourself. And what he did in that press conference was tell on himself. He said, well, this week I paid more attention, I studied. You're always supposed to study. You're always supposed to pay attention. That is not an excuse, but he did play well this week. I think there is a lot of potential, but yeah, Rook, don't tell on yourself. Don't do that.
David, 25 carries for 152 yards. They averaged 6.1 yards per carry. What was the difference in this game? We'll get your take and Sean's take from an offensive lineman standpoint.
I think they did a much better job with their footwork on double teams, getting up to the second level. You saw a lot more pullers in this game at the guard position to make sure that they were sealing, if there was any color showing that they were hitting through it. And early on, you saw more of a dedication to running the football until adversity hit. And then once again, it starts going back to passing the football. When you can take some off of your offensive line, you can control the line of scrimmage. And for the two players on the Chargers defense who had the most production, Bosa and Ingram, Bosa was giving up the most yards against runs right against him. So when you have those players, you have to be able to beat them up and take them out of their game, because if not, they're going to play the run on the way to the quarterback like they did today.
Yeah, lost in some of this today is Brett Jones stepping in at center for West Pittsburgh, and I thought he did a really good job. A lot of these big runs came in the A-gap. He did a great job combination blocking. You mentioned those combo blocks. Having Justin Pugh back in at left guard, that's his best position. And then having John Jerry at first and then DJ Fluker in at right guard, when they started running the football in that right A-gap and they had DJ Fluker at the point of attack pulling Justin Pugh,
yep.
I thought that was where they had a lot of success. Orleans Darkwa, I love how vertical he gets. He gets a lot of dirty yards, mm-hmm. because he's always falling forward. Those little 2 yard gains are huge when you start adding them up. He averaged over 8 yards a carry. That's hard to do. And I just think they didn't give him the ball enough. One thing that we really benefited from a lot was Tiki Barber. When we got rhythm, when he got, he wasn't coming out of the, off the field.
Yeah.
So he got a rhythm. And I think Dark was the same way. The more carries he gets, the more rhythm he's going to get, the better he's going to get because he understands how everybody's blocking.
Yeah, the problem, though, is, as Ben McAdoo alluded to, is that Dark injured his lower leg on the touchdown run, and that's kind of been his M.O. And the more reps he gets, the more chances he gets, he usually comes up with some kind of injury, which is why he didn't see the ball after he amassed those 69 yards rushing. So what do the Giants do going from here? Obviously, we got to get the pulse of the quarterback, Eli Manning. We're going to hear from Eli when we return. Disappointment at MetLife Stadium. The Giants lose to the Chargers 27-22. It's Giants postgame live.
No, it's tough. You know, tough situation when you lose three, eventually four receivers in a game. I thought we did the best we could. You know, had a scoring drive with a couple of them out when we just had two receivers left. But Evan Ingram's played in the slot. You know, part of just simplified the game plan a little bit, what you could do. But there at the end, having three tight ends and one receiver on a 2 minute drive, we were able to get a couple first downs, do some things. But it was not the ideal situation. Yeah, I can't afford to do that. Backed up, they're going to cover two or maybe have a chance to throw one on the sideline. But, tried to move in the pocket by a little time, just got tackled and landed on the defender. So it didn't hit the ground and ball popped up. But I got ahead, two hands on the ball right there, take the sack and move on. But can't give them that field position right there. Yeah, just missed him. On a possible touchdown to the early in the first quarter. Just had a little too much on it, and can't afford to miss those. You got touchdowns. You got plays that you got to hit them. No concussion. So yeah, I'll be fine. Obviously, you never want to see any receivers go down, and looked like he was in some pain. So, just told him to be thinking about him, and obviously don't know the severity of it, but hopefully be okay. They're just playing man to man, doubling the inside guys. So I had him one on one, and thought I'd put it in a good spot. He made a good catch and getting his feet down. So big play right there, and a nice play by Roger.
What do you see with Gallman in a running game?
That game? Yeah, I thought Wayne did a good job. Breaking some tackles, hitting some big runs. I thought we ran the ball great. All day had some nice runs. So should have led to more points.
And that has been the Giants' problem all season, not scoring enough points, as you heard from Eli Manning. And we welcome you back to Giants Post Game Live, presented by Mercedes-Benz. And let's talk about Odell Beckham Jr. Started to assert himself in the game, 48-yard touchdown catch. He was 3 yards short of yet another 100-yard receiving game. And now reports from the Giants that is a fractured left ankle. They'll do more tests to determine if there's surgery going to have to be done or not. But Amani, this offense doesn't run the ball effectively, and they can get stagnant at times. And last year, he was the great deodorant,
yes.
Right?
I mean, he would
take a slant and suddenly weave through a defense, and suddenly you got a 62-yard touchdown on the board. How does this team make up for a player that they're that reliant on offensively?
Well, you just got to hope that there's depth on this team in the wide receiving department. They got to bring in people. I remember when Tiki Barber left our team in 2006, right after 2006 season, 2007, everybody else knew that they were going to get more of an opportunity, so everybody else kind of raised their level of game. Now they know that if I was in that locker room, I'd look at it and say, there's opportunities out there. for somebody to make big plays. And if, you know, there's going to be balls coming around, we know they like to throw this. The team is built on the forward pass. And I'd be excited if I was in that locker room, just not because Odell Beckham's injured, but there is going to be opportunities in the immediate future to stake your claim at whatever type of player you really want to be.
We're really going to find out what type of offensive coach Ben McAdoo is, because now without Odell Beckham, now without maybe Brandon Marshall, Sterling Shepard, what's he going to do? What is this offense going to look like? When it happens during the game, it's hard. You're not really planning to lose three guys, and we saw Evan Engram go out there. You know, Jarrell Adams comes in. You've got Roger Lewis. You've got, Rhett Ellison playing tight end as well. But now that you have a week, you've got to find a way. Everybody's looking for you. You're going to come in, and everybody on this team is going to be looking, Coach, what are we going to do? He's got to lead. He's got to find a way to convince this team that they can win football games without Odell, without possibly Brandon Marshall, but without Dwayne Harris and Sterling Shepard. And this is where this coaching staff and this team is really going to start earning their paychecks, because the confidence hasn't been there with Odell. What are they going to do without it? And I feel for Eli right now, because I've been saying this for a couple of years, I feel like this is his prime. He is in his prime years. He made some unbelievable throws today.
The touchdown throw
to Roger Lewis down. I mean, you can't draw it up any better than that. I mean, he's probably done that to you a number of times. And then the throw where he dodged the blitzer. I mean, the unblocked defender dodged him. The double move to Odell for the touchdown. He was playing lights out. And now to have this taken away, it's really a shame. It's tough to see.
Great coaches find a way to simplify, adapt, and adjust. And that's what we're going to be able to see here. And I know they didn't want it this way, but Giants fans, you want a Travis Rudolph? He's going to be coming up.
Yeah, probably from the practice squad. And obviously it doesn't get any easier for this football team, because next week they got to go to Denver against one of the best defenses in the NFL. Roger Lewis made most of his opportunity with a 29-yard touchdown catch. We'll hear from him next on Giants Post Game Live. A look at MetLife Stadium as the Chargers defeat the Giants 27-22. We welcome you back to Giants Postgame Live, presented by Mercedes-Benz. So, Odell Beckham Jr., fractured ankle, fractured foot for Dwayne Harris, ankle injuries for Sterling Shepard and Brandon Marshall. There was one wide receiver left at the end of the game, and he's going to have a big role coming up over the next couple of weeks. Roger Lewis, who had one catch for 29 yards, addressed the media after the game.
Hurt to the offense when you lose so many of the other receivers?
It hurts. Coming from three or four of my brothers got hurt today. Them is like big brothers to me, so it really hurts. But it's just time.
What's the pulse of this team now? Not only do they all go down, but it's another loss. 0-5 right now.
0-5. We didn't plan it that way, but. I feel like it's still fighting this team, and we can still do things.
Have you heard anything about Odell so far?
No.
Where do you go from here? You say you still fight. I mean, what are you guys talking about in the locker room? I mean, it's obviously a feeling deflation.
It's still a fight. I feel like, we still going, we're a close-knit team, and I feel like there's nobody in this team that's on this team that's going to give up. We're going to, get ready for next week and go out and play hard again.
Roger Lewis with a 29-yard touchdown catch, perfect throw from Eli Manning, and suddenly his role has gotten a lot bigger with all these injuries, and the Giants will have to make some roster moves this week and add to that wide receiving core. Could they bring a guy like Tavares King back? Probably. Maybe Travis Rudolph comes up from the practice squad. Every week they hold auditions around the NFL. All the teams do. They bring players in that are out of work. I'm guessing the Giants will be calling a bunch of wide receivers this week. We're going to take a timeout. When we come back here on the program, we'll look ahead as the Giants head to Denver next week. You're watching Giants Post Game Live here on the MSG Networks. Welcome back to Giants Post Game Live. It doesn't get any easier for the Giants. They've got to go to Denver for a Sunday night game next week, and then home against the Legion of Boom and the Seattle Seahawks. And then it is the bye. As we welcome you back to Giants Post Game Live, presented by Mercedes-Benz, the official luxury vehicle of the New York Giants. So You mentioned Ben McAdoo. This is going to be a big test for him now because his best player is not going to be available. If you're just joining us, Odell Beckham Jr. has a fractured ankle. Who knows if he needs surgery or not. They're going to run further tests. But what can they simplify? What do they do to try to be competitive here?
Yeah, I know everybody wants to say, well, simplify the offense. This offense really couldn't get any more simple, if you ask me. I mean, they're in the same personnel. Last year they were 11 personnel 94% of the time. It's kind of the same thing. The only thing this might do is it might force this offense into going more two tight ends. Bring Red Ellison in. Maybe use the fullback a little bit more. Even if you can get receivers out there to play the position, you're in Denver. You've got the crowd noise. It's not like they're going to say, hey, we're going to go no huddle now and all these receivers are going to be on the same page with Eli. You just can't have that kind of chemistry. So I think they got to run the football. You've got to find a way to keep Von Miller from wrecking this game as well.
Without a doubt. I mean, if you're
sorry, did I answer that question?
You said Von Miller, and I was like, oh, my goodness.
I mean, yeah, and you think about today, the struggles that they had with twists and stunts. What do you think it's going to be like when you go to Denver? The blood's in the water. So right now as an offensive line, you need to use two tights. You need to use Shane Smith more to help them up front.
Yeah, protect,
using more
chips.
Max protection to chip, get out of the backfield, do whatever you need to do to help Eli out in this game because – if you let them start getting hit in that first drive, this defense for the Broncos thrive off of it. Derek Wolf in the up front will completely dictate the tempo of
and
the
entire
football game.
And that thin air is for
game.
Real, too, right?
It is.
It really is.
Yeah.
I want to ask you this. Evan Engram, he was targeted once in the first half. Then there were a couple throws to him late, you know, the ball that was intercepted. Mm-hmm. But they never really seemed to be able to get him involved in the passing game. How do they get him to be the threat that they drafted him to be? As opposed to some of the routes that they have him running right now.
Well, I think he's a rookie, so they're pushing him into a spot that I don't think he should be put into. Being able, having to carry a whole offense only five games into his career, but he is a first round draft pick. But I think that he's not in a very good position to succeed right now because he has all the attention. Because when you look at when defenses look at the Giants' offense, they look at Evan Engram as the only guy that could really hurt them. So in the pass game. So they're going to double team and make sure he doesn't beat you. But what the Giants can do moving forward is we're going to see the depth of Ben McAdoo's knowledge of football because he has to look at what he has, the running backs, the receivers, what he has and put together a game plan that can win. And if he goes out and he plays, out of shotgun and does the same things he's done last week, it shows me that he doesn't have that much knowledge of having to, kind of look at what you have and making a cake out of like everything
cake.
That's everything in the cupboard.
I'll
if you don't have
cake.
It, if you don't have something, you can't just you
just
know,
don't let
say
Bob hold the
cake without any chocolate. You know what
don't,
I mean?
Don't let Bob hold the cake.
You gotta find out what works for you, and that's what I'm gonna see what he could do this week.
Where's our man, Buddy Velasco? We got to get Damani a cake, man. Cake boss, dial
cake.
It in.
That's it.
We're out of time.
Chocolate chip cake.
For Amani Toomer, David Deal, Sean O'Hara, Bob Papa, thank you so much for joining us for this edition of Giants Postgame Live here on the MSG Networks, presented by Mercedes-Benz.